Okay, we will now convene. City of Daytona Beach, February 9, 2010, special magistrate proceedings. Those representatives of the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying for this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you have to provide, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes, I do. All right. Let the record reflect, I have reviewed the minutes of the January 12, 2010 meeting. They are in order, and I have executed them. With that, we have a couple of miscellaneous matters we're going to take up before we get into the regular agenda. Number one will be Gillies Pub 44 Riverfront. Appeal of denial of Bike Week Executive Committee and State Commission for Participation in Master Plan. Outside activities for Bike Week 2010 due to 60-foot continuous property definition. Those representatives, please step forward. Yes, sir. State your name.
Good morning, sir. Robert Lowry. I do.
All right. What say, Mr. Lowry?
Well, sir, I'm here as I have been before you'd ask for permission to use my parking lot across the street, which is, the problem is, the road is 60 feet wide, and the rule says 50 feet. And in the past, that has been granted, I think, the last four or five times.
Okay. With the number of contingencies, as I recall, which I assume you're in compliance with, but I guess I'll find that out. But don't we have another wrinkle here now? Does Gillies Pub 44 still exist?
Yes, sir. It's always been the same people running it. For a while, we tried it as Fresh on Main with a different format, which didn't seem to work too well for us. It's still going to be Fresh on Main, but we're just going to go back the format to the regular Pub 44 food.
I'm familiar with the circumstances. I'm familiar with the reasons for the denial. I'm familiar with the reasons for allowing you to participate in the city.
We're both requesting the same thing, that the crosswalk and there be an officer there to cross the field. Aside from that, it's an individual.
In the past, we've had a crossing guard, which we supplied. And
right, yeah, I was... It doesn't have to be an officer as long as you have somebody there that's trained.
Yes, sir. And we.
As long as you provide the police department whatever it is they're looking for.
Absolutely.
That's my number one concern.
Yes, sir.
All right. With that, I'll go ahead and grant. I guess I'm granting the appeal. The name of Gillies Pub 44. Believed to participate in master plan outside activities for Bike Week 2010.
Yes,
I said anything wrong.
Yeah, or.
And of course, please understand, and I know you're probably tired of hearing me say it, but this is all extreme. I mean, we all know that's a bottleneck. That's all there is to it.
Yes, sir.
So this is all extremely contingent upon you satisfying the police department with whatever precautions need to be taken. And I don't mean to be difficult, but the moment the police department comes in here and says or suggests you haven't done that, then we're going to be revisiting this.
But yes, sir. I understand fully.
And I understand you've done everything you've promised us today. Just very good.
Okay. Thank you so very much, sir. And thank you all.
Appreciate it.
All right, we have another matter. It is 126 South Oleander Avenue. Case number 0408108. I imagine this is a lien review. All right, who's here on behalf of the applicant?
I'm here on behalf of Florida Default Law Group. Sharon Ruth, I'm the attorney for Florida Default Law Group. R-U-T-H-S, ma'am.
All right, and it would appear as though we have a fine and $16,175. It's also been converted to a lien. And I'm assuming you're here looking for a lien review.
Yes, sir.
So what's the nature of the relief sought?
My understanding is that there's been some communications between, obviously, my company and the city of Daytona Beach, and there was an actual agreement in kind, was my understanding, of to make it reduce the payment today of $1,500.
Is that right, city?
Yeah, the city agreed to recommend $1,500.
Yeah. And I like more than communication. All right, then we will I'll go ahead and order that the lien amount be reduced to the sum of $1,500. I assume this is still subject to being paid within 30 days?
Your Honor, I'm tendering it today if you want that on the record.
That'll be fine. For the purpose of our proceedings, $1,500 to be paid within 30 days. You can note on the record that the respondent's already here with the $1,500 to be paid, so I assume that'll be moved. But in any event, we're allowing your 30 days to do it.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. We have another quick matter I think we should be able to get out of the way. This is case number 4, Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated. I'm here on behalf of the respondent. Hey, gentlemen, if you would please state your names.
Yes, Your Honor, Brad Willard. Actually not representing the respondent, representing U.S. Bank National Association, formerly Park National Bank. We're the foreclosing mortgagee. And we are also here with court-appointed receiver Brad Shepard.
Brad Shepard.
Our understanding is that Five Star Central Florida is not in attendance, but we're just here to articulate that an agreement has been reached with Officer Sykes. And the details of that have been negotiated between Mr. Shepard and Mr. Sykes, so I'll defer.
Okay, so what's the agreement?
Okay, actually, we're here for imposition of a fine today, the new permits, but we're not going to.
We're not here for that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not correct. The
well, I think record,
and I apologize. Yeah, the record says that, but that's
right.
Not correct.
Okay, according to the record. But what we're going to do, we're going to continue the case. Actually, we should have been on March's docket.
Right.
And since they're here, we want to ask for a continuance. Mr. Shepard has stepped in with the receiver, as a receiver. He's cleaned up the property. And what they're going to do is board up as the units become vacant. They're going to board them up. And I'll let him explain briefly the process, you know, and then we're going to ask that they come back in April for a progress report.
Okay. What we are proposing to do is the property consists of 78 units. As of today, approximately 35 are occupied. We're going to go ahead, do clean out and board up all the vacant units. And as the tenants are vacating over the next, we're hoping 45 days, we'll have the property completely boarded up. We will also go ahead. There are some life safety issues that need to be addressed on the exterior, and we will go ahead and get those handled expediently so that you know, we minimize the risk.
All right. So what's supposed to happen by April?
Well, April they're going to come in for a progress report to the board. And the last of the tenants should be out by March. So by April's meeting, we hope to have the property boarded up completely. And Mr. Shepard is maintaining the property now as far as trash and debris.
And that certainly is the goal, Your Honor. I just wanted to articulate that this is a former HUD property, so some of these are HUD tenants. The bank and Five Star is no longer in possession of the property, nor the receiver, are any longer receiving the subsidies from HUD. So it's just a function of actually getting the tenants out of the property as they receive their vouchers to move to other locations. So
okay, well, let's slow down for a second because we're going a lot further than I thought we would be in this matter. So let me back up and ask a few questions. The nature of the violation was failure to obtain permits for work being done on the property. I don't have any file information because this matter wasn't to come up until March, but let me back up. So we have a 78-unit apartment building. 35 of the 78 units are occupied.
Correct.
Okay. We intend to vacate all the units. The unoccupied units are being secured. Once we vacate all the other units, they will be secured as well.
That is correct.
Okay. And once we've done that, are we in compliance, or does compliance happen somewhere down the road when a bunch of improvements are made?
We're not actually in compliance, but the bank and the receiver understands before anyone else can enter the apartments that each unit has to be in compliance. But it's going to be boarded up to city standards. So, okay.
And so that we can kind of jam this program back into our little format here,
okay.
You're saying by March you expect the tenants to be out?
The end of March, yes.
The end of March. Okay. All right, then why don't we, and I'm just thinking out loud for now, why don't we have our progress report on April 13th? And all right, we'll go ahead and reschedule this matter for a progress report. All right, let me back up. What's the status of Five Star of Central Florida Corporate?
They're in the process of being foreclosed, and a summary judgment hearing date is set for early May. In the interim, because they haven't been taking care of the property, we've had the receiver appointed to take care of them, to take care of the property.
I assume Five Star received notice of this proceeding.
They did.
Okay, fair enough. That's all I need to know.
Well, clarification, not before today. I'm just from
because the order made them until March to come into compliance, so it wasn't noticed to come back until March. So not they weren't noticed to be here today.
And do we have the mortgagee as a respondent at this point in time?
At this time, we don't have them listed as responding. I think they ought to be.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, they're the ones asking for the relief right now.
I think they've taken control of a property.
Effectively, yes. We're working in connection with the receiver. The receiver is the court-appointed caretaker of the property until we actually complete the foreclosure process. But effectively, the bank's interests are in play here because Five Star is no longer in possession.
Okay. Well, this is turning into a nice procedural little morass here. All right. The respondent was ordered to be in compliance by March 3 of 2010. Assuming the respondent is not in compliance on March 3 of 2010, this matter will be returned to the March 9th meeting for imposition of a fine. Is that about correct procedurally so far?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Five Star of Central Florida knows about its compliance date of March. Will be notified of its appearance here on March 9th. Okay, so the fact that they're not here is irrelevant if we continue on as scheduled with regard to Five Star of Central Florida Corporate. All right, so as far as Five Star, I guess I'm doing nothing now but waiting until March 9th.
I agree.
Because right now I have a mortgagee and a receiver who are strangers to these proceedings. Asking for relief, which is fine. I'm just trying to figure all this out. So on March 9, this matter, as it presently stands, would come before us for imposition of a fine. Is the mortgagee prepared to stipulate right now to being a named respondent in this proceeding? Because until that happens, I don't know that I have jurisdiction to grant you any relief.
Unfortunately, I don't think that we can, Your Honor, because we're not actually in possession of the property. The owner of the property is still Five Star of Central Florida, and they've actually stipulated to the foreclosure judgment that we're seeking to have entered, but that's not going to occur until May. So technically, the proceedings would still be against Five Star, even though they don't really have an equitable interest in the property because they've stipulated to our foreclosure. That's why they've abandoned it, in part.
You're the receiver. Don't you have the authority to speak on behalf of the property itself?
Yes.
if I may, Mr. Chair, I know it's not spelled out real clear in the statute on 162, but we dealt with this issue in our ordinance issue related to vacant property, and I've looked at how it applies as far as relates to those who have control of the property. I think that the point being made that the receiver with the authority and interest in preserving the property would have a car lease to avoid the potential obligations or encumbrances that we will be placed on the property as a police power action. And can speak to this if you want. I would tender to the court that if the mortgagee has the control of the property, then as the ones controlling the property, they have the obligation of bringing it into compliance, even though they're not formally the formal named owner at this point.
Okay, are you appointed the receiver as for the property, or are you the receiver for the corporation?
For the property, Your Honor.
So I guess I continue to deal with the owner, and then you as the receiver and mortgagee can deal with the property or not deal with the property as you see fit. And because until you're a party to this proceeding, I can't order you to do anything, or for that matter, grant any relief you've requested. Now, that's not to say as a practical matter, I don't appreciate the fact that we're getting something done. All right, so I guess, and the other problem I've got is Five Star of Central Florida, Inc., notwithstanding the fact that it may have disappeared on us, is still the named respondent and is still entitled to the notice. They're still entitled to the benefits of notice, which at this point have required it to come into compliance by March 3. Okay, so what I'm going to do is at what point does the mortgagee become a respondent in this proceeding? When he acquires title?
I would, again, just what I said a moment ago, Mr. Chair, I would tend to that he becomes a respondent at the point that he takes control of the property.
See, my problem here, gentlemen, is I don't want to go giving up a whole bunch of time to a mortgagee who's not a party respondent, to a respondent who's not here, only to have this relationship dissipate, and all of a sudden we're down here 4 months later in the same situation. And so I guess what I have to do is channel whatever I want to do through Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated with the proceeding in its current posture.
If I may, Your Honor, if I may suggest that the court unilaterally and obviously, I'll defer to your judgment here. Grant an extension through April, because I can assure you, and as can Officer Sykes, it's highly unlikely that Five Star is going to attend either in March or April.
Well, I think I'm inclined to do that, but for a different reason. Because, Mr. City Attorney, if I extend the compliance date to April and modify the compliance date, and what I do doesn't prejudice the respondent, I assume that I'd be permitted to do that, notwithstanding the absence of the respondent?
I would agree with you, and I think once he's noticed, he would still have a post if he decides or believes that he's had some type of procedural detriment. He'd have a post-procedural opportunity to challenge it if he thought for some reason was
okay, well, wrong. Enough talking. It's time to do something. All right. I'm going to go ahead and amend our previous order. To require that by April 6, 2010, the property be secured to city standards. I'm doing that in reliance upon the representation from the mortgagee and the receiver that the parties are currently in the process of evicting what remaining tenants there are so that they can secure the property. I'm assuming that's in anticipation of some intent to remodel, what have you. or at least bring the property into compliance. So I'm ordering that the respondent, or I'm amending our previous order, requiring the respondent to secure the property to city standards by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I'm also scheduling this matter for a progress report on April 13, at which point we will discuss the status of the property, the respondent's intentions, whether or not the people that control the property are going to be formally appearing, and if so, hopefully determining what kind of a compliance state we would be looking at around the property and compliance. Did I cover everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, technically, what I've done is I've amended our current order of noncompliance to allow Five Star until April 6th to secure the property to city standards. That's intended to allow them time to remove what remaining tenants there are, and it's my understanding 43 of the units are already secured. And then by April 13, we will discuss what we're going to do at that point to bring the property into compliance. Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated, regardless of whether or not we have any new response, will be notified of that meeting as well as the order that we're entering today. So Five Star will be on the same page with what we're doing now and with what we expect between now and April. All right. Is there anything else I need to talk about here?
I think that's everything.
Good luck, gentlemen.
Thank you
so much.
Okay, now we will return to our agenda, case number one.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cheshire, Henry Michelson, Eugene Michelson, son. We have a fine lien in the amount of $3,175. My understanding, the respondent has authorized us to proceed in his absence. Let's say the city.
When is Delta? I've been in touch with Officer Cleveland after today's outbill, and I've reviewed the case and talked with him about it. He has recommended a 10% reduced to a 10%. This case started March 2nd, 2007. It did not come into compliance until January 18th, 2008. A order imposing a fine was imposed on 9/13/2007, and pretty much quoting Officer Clegg, that both the father and son pretty much dragged their feet on this case, but he was willing to, because of the amount, reduce it to 10%, sir.
Reduce it to 10%?
Yes.
$317.50?
What is that?
Yeah, okay, have we had any discussion with the respondent regarding his intentions to pay?
Per what Officer Clegg has told me, he has not heard from them regarding this thing. Specs that showed non-compliance on 8/1/2007. Fine imposed 9/13.
taken, and the respondent is Henry Michelson. Henry Eugene Michelson. Okay, let the record reflect I have reviewed the materials provided by the respondent, notwithstanding the respondent's absence. On the basis of the reduction suggested by the city, I find that to be reasonable. Therefore, I'm going to reduce the amount of the lien to some of the
figures. I'm sorry to interrupt. The actual total amount with the accrued interest is $38,955. So 10% would actually be $39,955.
I'm sorry.
$39,955.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and order that the fine slash lien be reduced to the sum of $389.55, subject to being paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, then the fine and the lien will remain as it presently stands.
For that one.
Very good. Okay, case number one, Joseph Burton Hardy III, Joyce L. Wright, Juliet Massey.
I do.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
I am going to defer to the building official who's been dealing with the property owner.
Sir, Mr. Hardy obtained a permit probably within a few days of the last code board. He asked for a couple of weeks to open up the floor, get it to where we could inspect. He called me. I went and did an inspection to see what the actual extent of the damage was. He made the repairs, asked me to come back yesterday and inspect the framing that he had done to repair the subfloor, and he is ready to cover it up. So the city says that Mr. Hardy has done what we asked him to do, has made the repairs, and now all I need to go back and do is a final inspection.
Okay, and how much time should be required to do that?
He actually asked me if I could come back yesterday afternoon late, but I told him I wasn't able to, so if he's ready today, I could go today or tomorrow. So I would say by the end of the week, if Mr. Hardy, you're ready.
Yeah, by the end of the week.
Yeah.
And then once that happens, we are then fully in compliance?
Well, I don't know what other issues.
That was the last issue, yeah. Was the subfloor. So once that's done, we're in compliance.
Okay, what's
saying
Mr. Hardy?
I'm sorry to be here again today. Like you said, probably end of the week or early next week. The reason I didn't finish it yesterday afternoon, he told me he wasn't going to be able to come back, so I didn't go out and get the supplies. I don't have them received them yet. If you can give me to like beginning of next week, next Monday, would be great.
Okay.
I'm asking that because of the work schedule coming up within the second half of this week.
Okay, I'm going to amend our last most recent order of compliance to require the respondent to be in compliance by March 3, 2010. I'll be returning to the special magistrate for consideration fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, fine. We've given you the ordinary compliance amount of time here, but let's follow through on what we're doing here. I don't want anybody dropping any balls because I'd like to wrap this thing up once and for all. All right, so he's already indicated he's ready to do an inspection, I guess, when you're available?
No, actually, Mr. Hardy will put the plywood down, get it called into me probably next week, and I'll go to the inspection, put the record of the inspection into the permit record, and contact Mr. Stenson and let him know the results.
And then we'll be done with it.
We'll be done.
All right, let's finish it out, gentlemen. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number two, Harmon Investments, LLC.
Good morning. I do.
Progress report, determination of compliance date. Progress.
We're waiting on the city for the permit.
How much time to come into compliance?
As soon as we get a permit, we'll get the project started.
And once you get the permit in hand, how long should it take you to do whatever needs to be done?
I wouldn't think it would take no more than 2 months to finish that project.
If I could just let you know, we did add
Cortez.
Owners as respondents. It's just not
listed on
the
agenda, but it was on the last order. Right, do we have anyone else here?
No.
On behalf of the department?
All right,
what's the city?
Well, Mr. McKelton, would love to see a resolution to this. It's been going on for over a year and a half. Started it in 5/08, posted it that date. We have had, a week prior to the last magistrate, we had another application for a permit. And then I talked to Colleen Miles this morning. There are three other issues that need to be resolved in the application process. And she seemed confident that they're not that difficult to complete. So the city would like to amend till the next cutoff.
To do what?
For a progress report. And at that time, if no progress has been made between now and the next one, we will go forward with an imposition of a potential fine. If you can. And not an imposition of a request.
Plan, sorry.
Pardon? Oh, yes.
So the respondent has submitted an application for a permit.
Correct.
It's now in the city's hands.
Yes.
For a revision. Do we have any idea how long it's going to take for him to get a response?
No.
So we're just looking to move this to next month for another progress report.
Correct. And a compliance date.
Sir, I really don't want to waste your time or my time. I mean, if we could push this thing to the third month, and that way we could get the permits done, get the project done, then we could come back in here and say, hey, we're finished. But
I don't mean to be offensive, but you're not even the owner anymore, are you?
No.
So you're asking me to give 90 days to people who aren't even here? You have an eyeball and made a truck.
Okay.
You're asking for 90 days for people I don't know from now. That's not going
to happen.
Okay. And, you know, I know it's a hassle, but, you know, it looks to me as though there's nothing more we can do but bring it back for another progress report once we get the permits in hand, and then somebody can speak with a little more certainty as far as when we can expect a compliance date. And I trust the new owners understand that I'll be predicating my decision on what the inspector says and perhaps what you say. And again, I don't mean to be offensive, but are you the one that's going to be doing the work?
Yeah.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then I guess I will be listening to you.
Mr. Chip, can I just ask this question? Have you been in contact with the owner, and have they given you authority to speak on their behalf as far as?
Oh yeah, I talk to them every day.
And they've given you authority to speak on their behalf? Yes. Okay. The thought and what's articulated and what he intended, but the thought of the inspector was that he wants a compliance date in place because he believes that there is a reasonable time that he can ask for, and then at that point be expecting a fine if there's not a compliance. He believes it's reasonable, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he believes it's reasonable for the permit to be issued within the next 30 days and before, after the issuance of the permit within that next period to be in compliance. So a 60-day time period would be more than reasonable for compliance. And I'll ask the inspector to speak to that since he's the one that will be with the company knowledge.
Tony is much more eloquent than I am. But yes, 60 days would be nice to see a compliance date.
60 days from now?
Correct.
But you can't impose a fine.
Work until he has a permit.
Exactly.
I know. But, you know, we have to set a date somewhere down the line, and it's been a year and a half. We'd love to see compliance, and if the company, the new company, comes in and follows through with the three issues that are left.
Here's what we'll do. You're saying 90 days.
Yeah.
He's saying 60, you're saying 90. All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you both what you want. I'm going to go ahead and order the property be in compliance by May 5, 2010. And we're going to have a progress report on March 9, 2010, so that I can make sure everything's on track. So I don't feel like a fool 90 days from now when I find find out that none of this is happening because I just gave away 90 days.
Absolutely.
Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and order that we have a progress report on March 9, 2010. If you've got the authority to speak on behalf of the co-respondents, that's fine. And we'll go ahead and order it, the property being in compliance, by May 5, 2010.
Perfect.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good luck, gentlemen.
Thanks, sir.
It's going to be returned for consideration fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, case number three, Peter Lee.
Good morning. I do.
All right, we are here for a progress report and determination of the compliance state. So, Mr. Lee, tell me what progress we've made since I saw you last.
Well, I've got a 15-day baby girl.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that made me pretty busy. I've ordered the vinyl on the outside is the longest ongoing project there.
It's all new stuff that I'm seeing?
Yes, it is.
That's nice.
That's nice enough where I'd like to buy it.
It's like progress right there.
Well, the inside has to look as good as the outside, so we're working really hard on the inside. And the cold snap has stopped us. I had some pictures, but it looked like you did really good.
Okay, so what have we actually accomplished since I saw you last?
My vinyl is in three parts. One is on the north, the south, and that's two projects, and then east and west is the third project. The holdup is we're putting a electric baseboard heaters upstairs. I put we did get a permit, and they're working on it, and that's a hold up on finishing the vinyl on one side. I've got an order here from Lowe's for the other, for the next project coming up. We're waiting for the vinyl to come in. The tile inside, which looks really nice. It's the grout will be done probably next week. I'll get the grout done. What else can I tell you? There was a lot of write-ups that Mr. Stenson had, and I've got them mostly complied with, but I didn't want to call you because you'd be driving back and forth on little things, and then I can have you just come in there one time and you can check everything off. I thought that would be a good idea. But I want to wait till the vinyl is done and the electrical is done. We complied with a few more permits that are completed with the external door and the balcony, the outside balconies, they're done. And in spite of the cold weather and having a baby, I think I did the best I could, you know, working on it.
Like go ahead. I said, it's all progress. When do you anticipate being done?
Well, I'd like to have at least another 2 months, and hopefully before that I can have it in compliance.
What say the city? What's the status of progress for starters?
City satisfied with the progress so far,
okay.
And I am prepared to suggest 60 days for compliance.
All right. I assume we've already found the respondent non-compliance? All right, then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to be in compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, we appreciate the effort. The city's pretty much satisfied with the progress. Keep moving forward. Please remember to call the inspector and make sure you get a final inspection when you're all done. It's not done until the paperwork's done.
Right.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll call you when when I get the other part of the bio.
Okay. Case number 5, 400 Beach Street Acquisitions, LLC. Progress report.
I do. Morning, Your Honor. Charles Bryant, project manager for the City of Daytona Beach Redevelopment Area. On January the 27th, the city submitted a request for bid to have the rear building of 300 North B Street demolished. It went out to six different demolition companies on that date, and we're expecting to get results of those bids on February the 16th at 2 o'clock, in which these bids will be awarded. The bid will be awarded to demo that particular building, which is the rear, the blue building that's showing on the screen. And once that is, the bid is awarded, then we'll proceed to pull the permits and demo that property.
And who is it that's actually undertaking the effort to demo the property? The city
is, yes.
Why isn't 400 Beach Street Acquisitions LLC doing
it? I think the city might be in the negotiations of purchasing or leasing that property.
All right. What's in the city?
Haven't heard from 400 in a while. The magistrate ordered that the building be secure and kept secure. It's not secure at this time. I put a phone call in for them to come back. Some have broken into it over the weekend. So I'm hoping they'll get back and take care of that. That's the only real issue that I have at this time. As Mr. Bryant said, it's going along. You've been following the papers. There's all kinds of talks about that area down there, what they're going to do with the college and everything. So things are happening.
Yes. And I wasn't aware of that, but we've had them to secure a couple of times. They keep breaking in. I'll get the guy back out there today to get it secured again.
Very good. So what do we need from me right now?
I really can't see it happening, even with the demo and the contracts and everything happening overnight here. But if you want to have a progress report next month, that's fine. I'm thinking more like 60, but it's up to you, sir.
Mr. Bryant, when do you, if you were to take a wild, crazy guess as to when this might come down, what would you think that would be?
We've got the bid opening on February 16th, so I would say probably 30 days from that time. It normally takes them about a week to get the permits and everything, and depending on their work schedule, they put a facet at demo.
It would probably fall right there, too, which is going to be the other issue, too.
So you're thinking sometime between March 16 and April 16?
Yes, sir.
I can't see them doing it there, Mark.
And when's bike with?
Last of February, 1st of March.
Right. Well, there again, too, we got to do an asbestos survey, and if we find something in there, then it's going to extend the time.
Well, in any event, it sounds as though you've assumed responsibility for the property, and you're the one that's securing it, so I guess I can be plenty content with that.
Excellent.
So that having been said, looks like a progress report somewhere down the road. How far down the road do you want to make it?
April.
All right, then let's schedule this matter for another progress report at our April 13, 2010 meeting, at which time, hopefully, we will discuss a compliance state. Okay, and in the interim, of course, the property needs to be secured to city standards. All right, very good. Good luck.
Thank you.
Case number 6, Ronald Mitchell and Jacqueline Babs Mitchell. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, let's say the city.
This, when we were here last time, we asked them to finish cleaning up the outside storage and do that and then work on the roof, and they were willing to do that. They
The storage is better, but it's still there. There's tin cans in the garage. There's plywood in the garage. That's a before picture. But the outside storage is better, but it's still there. So I'm, and they're not here, and I think we, what needed to be done could have taken a couple hours, and they kept putting off, and we're still at the point where it's still there. So I'm willing to ask for a fine, $25 a day, with a cap of $6,704, which is 10% of the just property value. That's something new we're starting.
Forward thinking. Is this property occupied?
Yes.
And they've done pretty much everything except for what I'm seeing?
There were some wooden pallets in the backyard. There was a little bit more storage in the carport. Once this, the tarp and all of that has been gone for some time. And all they had to do was clean out the carport, get rid of the pallets, and get rid of some of the other wood in the backyard. And as far as I can tell, only the pallets are gone. I mean, they've done some, but, you know, they keep saying, oh, we'll have it Friday, or we'll do it next Tuesday, we'll get it done. And it's just not been done. And it's just not that difficult to do.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this new wrinkle. With a cap of what now?
10% of the just property value, which in this case would be $6,704.
Did you say 10% of the just value?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Property appraiser's value.
So it's appraised at $67,000?
Correct.
So we're supposed to, so you're asking me to consider capping it at $6,700?
Correct.
Well, you caught me cold, so I'm going to have to think about that one. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondents be in compliance by March 3 of 2010. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $50 per day will automatically go into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. I'm not going to do the cap just yet. I want to mull that one over.
So we're amending the compliance date of the outside storage or main violation except for the roof, and then an automatic fine.
Or total compliance.
Pardon?
Were you asking for total compliance by 3-3?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're amending everything.
Well, the roof still has to be in compliance by March 3.
Okay, so the automatic fine that's supposed to be, was an automatic fine? I'm sorry.
All right. With regard to the, let me clarify.
Okay.
With regard to the outside storage, respondent is to be in compliance by March 3, 2010, or a fine in the amount of $50 per day will automatically go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the respondent is in compliance. With regard to the roof, the respondent already has until March 3, 2010 to come into compliance on that, so we will defer any ruling regarding fines until we find out whether or not the respondents comply.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
I have plenty of room.
Okay, Antonians, before I forget, let's talk about the 10% of the assessed value thing at the end of the meeting during our miscellaneous business.
That was my anticipation.
Pardon?
I said that was my anticipation.
Right. Okay. Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, Joyce C. Perry. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
I'd like to amend to the next cutoff. I have progress. I've been in contact with the attorney representing the party. She's in a nursing home, as I told you. And they are in the process of pulling permits to take care of the work that's been required.
All right. Based on our inspector's
report. I will amend the pending or the current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 3, 2010 to commit compliance, or we return to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 9, Galaxy Buick Incorporated and Daytona Auto Body and Repair. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Sure it is. Case number 10, Ernest Deloach Jr. and Dolores Riles. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Deloach gave me a call. They have been working on the issue. It is close to being finished. I'd like to amend to the next cutoff based upon good, response on their part.
All right. Based on the report of our inspector, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 3, 2010 to commit to compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day there. Case number 11, Mohammed M. Kabaze. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Picoza, the property owner has just returned in town. He's been out of the country now for the past 4 months. Obviously, that's not an excuse for the condition of the property, but I do want to give him the opportunity to get something done there. I've spoken to him.
Is that trash I'm looking at on his property?
That is. There is someone living on the property. He's not supposed to be there. Obviously, every time I go there, he kind of takes off and he kind of hangs out, wait for me to leave, and then he comes back. I have been in contact with the property owner, and I have agreed to give him a little time to see what he can get done here. I'd like to amend this to the next to the March hearing.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 3, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. New cases. Number 12, Theo Cox.
No.
Morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Theo Cox.
Can you
raise your
right hand? Do you solemnly swear to
protect
the testimony
you're
about to
provide?
Is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Cox, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you reasonably anticipate it would take the respondent to come into compliance?
I met with Mr. Cox on the property and seeing that he has to have quite a few vehicles removed, he was asking 45 days, and the city agrees.
Okay, what say Mr. Cox?
Yes, sir.
All right. Since we don't have a 40-day time slot, you'll get closer to 60. I assume you're not complaining about that.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you and stay in touch with your inspector.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Case number 13, MTAG, Custodian for Stever Management, LLC. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Let's say the city.
I sent out a notice of violation for this property here. It's dilapidated, unsecured. They signed for the green card, but I've had no contact. They haven't called. They haven't emailed anything. So it's non-compliance.
All right, so in any event, none of the work on the inspection report's been done, so these conditions all remain?
No, sir.
Remain. All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. How much time would you reasonably anticipate it will take for the respondent to come into compliance?
To demolish it, I would say 30 days.
Can it be rehab?
It can, but I think the price to rehab it
exceeds the value.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I will order the respondent come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per year after. Case number 14, Shawanda Denise Williams. What say the city?
14. Okay. This property, this is the results of a fire. It's since been boarded up, but they've started working inside, and no permits. And it's secured now. You'll see some more photos that the city went out and secured the property. That's the work they have started without permits. And I have had no contact. So they are non-compliance.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. And how much time should it take for them to come into compliance?
To be honest with you, I would say 90 days. They have no permits, and I'm not sure what you know what's going to entail when they try to pull permits.
So 90 days to get the work done if they had the permits and if they undertook the work?
Right. If they try to pull permits, I want to give them time for that and to also do the work. And they might come in and demo the property. I'm not sure. Like I said, I haven't spoke to anyone. So I'm not sure what they want. But 90 days to rehab if that's what they choose to do.
Well, I don't want to give them 90 days. So
okay.
What can I do between now and 90 days to either hear from them or come to a conclusion?
Well, we can bring them back next month. And if I, like I said, I haven't heard from them, and send out a notice to them. And if they don't respond to it, that's fine. Impose a fine.
Okay, they received a notice of the violation.
Yes, they did.
They know what work needs to be done.
Yes.
And they know they need to get permits to do it.
Yes.
So, Tony, what can I do short of giving them 90 days?
What you may want to do is maybe a progress report next month just to see if they will be responsive, and if they're not responsive, then give them 1 month to demolish the whole thing.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
Okay.
All right, we've already found the respondent in noncompliance. We'll go ahead and continue this matter to our March 9, 2010 meeting for the purpose of hearing a progress report and establishing the compliance date at that point in time.
All right, thank you.
Case number 15, Carrie Bernadette Smith Ramsey.
Good morning. Bernadette Ramsey.
And Bernard Smith, Jr.
Yes.
Yes. All right, you all agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes. Let me speak on behalf of my sister, if I would, just for a moment. The violations do exist, all except for the fact that it was mentioned that they are being occupied. Those units have not been occupied for 3 years, so there's no running water, no power. We're in the process as a result of not only these violations, but the fact that we want to afford affordable housing, affordable rental housing. We have made application with the city of Daytona Beach for rental rehabilitation as a result of these violations and others. So note, these units have not been rented for over 3 years.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
I did have an answer for you, but now that he's applied for assistance with the city and knowing the procedures now, after I've done it a couple of times, I'm going to ask for a progress report in 60 days and see where we are from there, because the city will sometimes turn a little slow.
Okay. Now, to do the work, how much time would be required, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it would probably take 2 months to do mm-hmm. the entire job.
Mm-hmm. Now that we have this administrative overlay involved here, what's your outer marker here?
Outer marker, 4 months. All that being said, in the interim, the property definitely needs to be secured, because every time I have gone to the property, there has been people on the property.
And he's correct. We do, from time to time, have squatters.
And when do you want to have your progress report?
I'd like a progress report in April, the April hearing. That'll give them time to go back and forth with community development.
And in the meantime, it needs to be secured and unoccupied.
Correct.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and order this.
Sorry, one more thing. Trespass arrest, I broke. You need to go down to the police department. I'll give you my card and give me a call.
Okay.
You have to take care of that.
Okay.
Is that something I'm ordering too?
You can.
Can I?
No.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and order that this matter be rescheduled on our April 13, 2010 meeting for a progress report. In the interim, the property is to be secured to city standards. It is to be maintained, and it is not to be occupied. Failing any of those conditions, the respondent can be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you.
I understand this, Mr. Chair. I think the answer to the trespass arrest site is that we would encourage that strongly, and I believe that the inspector make a point of making it known that he made that available. You continue to have this problem that's going to interfere with your ability to...
I've been in touch with the city of Daytona Police Department, and they have said that I have to actually see them on the property and keep them there until they get there.
It's something different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make sure you speak with the inspector and he can make sure you don't have that other problem.
Okay.
That works different than that situation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Case number 16, Howard Bett.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Bett Howard, actually.
Bett Howard.
And
that is the tax that we received up there in the summer.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Donald Williams. That's my Bett House and my sister. I'm the renter occupant of the said address, 349 Garden Street. For some reason, I don't know if she got a...
What was your name, Donald?
Donald Williams.
Okay. Can you raise your hand? Yeah. Or you can switch it. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing about the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Do you have authority to speak on behalf of your sister?
Yes.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Of inadequate water supply? Well, the water is not running through the house, but the house is not unsanitary or in people in the neighborhood let me get water and stuff like that, but for my own, people in the neighborhood let me get buckets of water to take care of my house. I mean, the house is not unsanitary, but from my understanding is that the water has to be running through the house. And right at this point in time, I don't have $218 and whatever cents to have the water turned on. And before I can have the water turned on, I have to speak to some gentleman named Gary Fordham, and he's a city engineer. And I just don't have the money, Your Honor. I wanted to know what is the longest move-out date that you can give me, because I don't have anywhere to go, but everything in the house has to be, I'm going to take everything out and put it in the garbage, and I need to find somewhere for my dog, and that's pretty much it.
All right, well, first off, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on to the topic of inadequate water service. What is the fix for inadequate water service?
Without any frills, the only way to come in compliance is either obtain water service or vacate, because you can't occupy without water.
I mean, I don't understand why you have to have running water. You know, I asked him when we first talked, I said, you can come in right now. My house is not unsanitary. It's not smelly. It's not stinky. You know, my yard, well, I mean, the yard doesn't have nothing to do with it, but my yard is not unkept or anything else. You know, I mean, the house is still livable. You know, everything that was done in there, I did. But, I mean, the only thing is there is no water running through the pipes in the house. But the house is not smelly, unsanitary, or nothing else.
According to the utility billing and the property owner, this property has not had service since 1969. I've spoken with the property owner a few times, and of course she's up in New York, and she's having difficulty up and down just because she's not here.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the only property she has. The other property is in compliance. It's well kept and all that other fun stuff. But ultimately, a question: either obtain service or pay.
And how long does it take to obtain service?
Your Honor, to be totally honest with you, I've done everything but steal. I beg, borrowed, but nobody really wants to give me any money because I'm not working. I haven't worked in over a year. And I don't want my sister to be fined for the violations or anything, so I guess the best bet for me is to just close the house up. I mean, I don't have a choice.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, because this is not the only water issue we've had to deal with lately, what sort of recourse is available to persons through the water department who claim that they're just unable to pay the bill?
They actually can go down to the utility building and negotiate a payment plan.
Well, I went down there yesterday morning. That's how I found out $218. I asked them, was there any way I could make payment arrangements or give them a few dollars here and there, because I do a little bit of handyman work, you know, yard, stuff like that. They told me that they need the whole $218.57 up front, plus $18 and something past due. And before I can do that, I need to talk to Gary Fornum, the engineering department. Mr. Stinson did tell me that, you know, they do have a payment arrangements, but I spoke to the gentleman at the information, and he told me no. And I don't know if that's just in my case or is that, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know what else to do.
Violation? Yes, sir. Mind you, this case did come to light due to quite a bit of police activity, police complaints.
You have the same people, actually one of the persons that started this is one of the persons that has been letting me go over to his house and get and obtain water from him. We had a little disagreement about, I don't know, I think before the next to the last visit. No, I'm just saying, I know you don't know nothing about that, but, and I think that's the only reason why now he's complaining, but, I mean, I've been getting water from him and a few other people. You know, the only reason why, Your Honor, I just want to make sure that I don't want my sister to be fined for anything, that's all, behind me, you know. So, I mean, I don't know what else to do. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have to bake. Well, I do a few jobs here, you know, mow lawns, rake grass. Somebody might want to help move something somewhere. You know, I make enough money to where I can buy food and, you know, a few dollars in my pocket, dog food for the dogs. I mean, I'm not really making hundreds of dollars a week or anything like that. I mean, some days I go a whole week without making anything. I've been around trying to put in applications. I tried to put an application at the new building that they're building down at Bethune-Cookman, but they have all the people that they need. I've been to a couple of temp agencies, but, you know, they pretty much send out their regulars, so, you know. I don't know. I'm just trying to do what I can do, you know. I've been out of work now for almost, I think, a year. I did have a little bit of savings, but...
Okay, so what is the relief the city's looking for? A time to come into compliance?
After reading correspondence and talking to the actual property owner, she won't be able to even be down here until mid-April. So we probably won't even get a chance to talk with her here until May. I don't want to give it a May compliance because you can't occupy a property without order. What I suggest is we give it the compliance for next cutoff. I'm assuming that the services are not going to be restored. If they're not restored, then the property needs to be vacated and secured to city standards.
Now, I can't order somebody out of the property.
No.
Of their property.
Order someone off. No, you can't take the possession of all or they have jurisdiction over property. You have the effect of that when you're ordering secure and that type of things, but...
Yeah, well, I assume I can sit there and say the order is not to be occupied. Mm-hmm. It has to be secured until it's brought into compliance.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I plan on moving back in, but I mean, I don't, you know, until I get a job or whatever, or the $218, you know, it's just my issue is I just don't want my sister to be fined for my actions, that's all, you know, but, I mean, I've been there since 2001, so.
So, can I ask a question? Do you have any thought when your sister comes in April, what she may want as far as? Do you expect she's going to come and pay, or?
I doubt it. I don't know. I thought she would be here. I don't know if you guys mailed her a letter or anything.
Okay,
I figured. No, she's trying to find work. You know, she's been out of work for 6-7 months now. You know, I have a couple of jobs coming up, but I mean, it's not no real big job. See, my thing is that I wanted to give them so much money from a job. You know, if I make $30, I'll give them $20. You know, I mean, if I make $50-$60, I'll give them $40. You know, but for some reason, I don't know if it's just in my case that they don't want to take payments until the $218 is paid. I don't know. See, I never made it to the back offices. I only spoke to that one person at the information counter. So I don't know if I should have asked him if I can go back there and talk to somebody or I don't know.
Do you know if they pulled the meter already?
No, the meter's still there.
Actually, I had to replace a pipe. When they turned the water off, they broke my side of the water line. I had to replace a pipe there, but, you know.
Okay, well, you know, I guess the cowardly thing to do is to just give you until next month to come into compliance, but I know full well you're not going to be able to come into compliance.
No. I mean, anything can happen.
The condition that you're not going to be coming into compliance with is fundamental, and it's a health hazard.
Well, I mean, anything can happen between now and next month, but I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say.
The point is, between now and March 3rd, 2010, what's going to be your source of water?
The same way I've been doing it.
Plumbing off the neighbors?
Yep. That's what I've been doing.
Okay, well, hope springs eternal. So. I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If you're not in compliance by March 3, you will be returned for consideration of a fine. You'll be returned at the March 9th meeting.
Okay.
I can't tell you what to do, but I would urge you to wear out the water department as far as whatever, if any, relief they'll provide.
Okay.
And I'll be interested in hearing from you what efforts you made in that regard and what response you got from
you.
Okay? Because I'm kicking you down the road for about a month here, but that's as far as I'm going. Because something's going to have to give here. Whether it's you coming up with money or them working with you, I don't care which it is, but it's going to have to be one or the other.
Okay. And
so my point is, you tell me you don't want to get your sister in trouble.
Right.
You come back here, and if you don't have the water on by March 3rd,
right,
because you haven't been able to do it, and you come back here and you start explaining to me in detail everything you've done to try to get in touch with the water department or work things out with the water department, because I want to hear it.
Okay.
If I'm dissatisfied with your effort, you tell me you didn't have time to do it, then there won't be anything left to do but impose a fine.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, you've explained to me you've done everything humanly possible, then we'll continue to try to figure something out.
Okay.
And in the meantime,
yes,
I don't want to hear anything about police activity at this house.
All right.
Period. None.
Okay.
I don't care if it's I don't care if it's neighbors that you're borrowing water from, whatever it may be. You're responsible for that property, and your sister will be facing fines. If we find that property, because I find out a month from now, all I've done is given somebody another 30 days to allow stupid stuff to happen on the property.
Okay.
Okay?
So yes.
March 9th, I'm going to hear back from you. Hopefully the water will be on and you'll be in compliance and you'll go about your business.
Well, I mean, if for some reason the water gets turned on before March 9th, all I have to do is just call him and let him know.
Just call Mr. Stinson and then you're in compliance.
I got it. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, if that doesn't happen, then you come explain to me why it didn't happen, and you come convince me, well, how you did everything humanly possible. But the key here is I don't want to hear about the police being on that property or being called to that property between now and at least March 9th.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Because if they do, then my Christian charity goes out the window.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 17, Edward R. Brown and Charlene C. Brown. It's in the city.
Okay, Ms. Vicaza, there's been a slight error on my part. 17 and 6, 17 and 18, the notices of hearing were transposed.
The notices of violations weren't attached to the correct cases, they were switched.
Email, so I think we have to resend out the correct. They each got each other.
Okay. So what am I doing?
So 17 and 18.
Sounds like there were notice problems, so we can continue it or
I would, how about we withdraw and renotice, yeah?
It's easier for you guys.
Is there a possibility that it can be resolved?
Actually, yes. Yes. I think I'll go with that.
So what are we doing?
We're going to withdraw.
17 and 18.
Yes, sir. No.
Case number 19, WMA Properties LLC. Are you doing only on left down here? What's your case?
20.
Come on up.
I'm assuming it's 20, I think, over there.
The Parrott Family Trust?
Yeah.
Okay, can you please state your name and be sworn?
Scott Singler.
Singler?
Singler, S-I-N-G-L-E-R.
You solemnly
swear
the testimony you want
to provide
the truth, and
I'll prove
nothing
but
the truth.
Yep.
And Mr. Singler, what is your affiliation with this property?
I am the trustee of the trust.
Okay. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
The original notice of violation on the 26th you're talking about? October 26th?
I've got one dated January 20, 2010. Notice of violation.
Nope.
No current occupation?
No, that's not true.
Pardon?
That is not true.
What's not true?
I was not in violation. You said, do I agree with that? I said, no, I do not agree with that.
All right, let's hear from the city.
Notice was sent out 10/26/09 because the property was being rented and there was not a current rental occupational license.
Okay. Are we agreeing with that or disagreeing with that?
Yeah, a letter was sent, certified mail to me. It was dated October 26th, which is a Monday. Sent certified mail to me for no current occupational license. I received that and signed the green card. What day did I sign the green card?
10/29.
On 10/29, I received that and signed a green card. On 10/29, same day, I came into Daytona Beach permit office, applied for and paid for an occupational license for that property. November 3rd, the following Tuesday, the property was inspected by Ed, I think it's Dauphin.
Dauphin.
It passed the inspection with no violations at that time.
I'm sorry, what date was that?
November 3rd, 2009. Just a week after when I got the original, actually, 5 days after I received the notice. I received my occupational license approximately 4 weeks after that in the mail. About a week after that, I received another one, a duplicate copy. Looks exactly like the first one. So last night in preparing for this meeting, which is a true waste of my time, I noticed two things on my license. One, I paid for a 12-month license. I received a 11-month license because it expires on November or 9/30 of 2010. It starts on. In fact, I have a copy for you here. If you'd like that.
Sure.
Number one, the license is effective date 10/29/09, expires on 9/30 of 2010, which is only 11 months after it started, and I paid for a 12-month license. Second thing I noticed on the license last night as I was preparing for this, the city misspelled the name of the street on the license. The inspection is spelled properly, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E. The license is spelled B-I-R-K-S-H-I-R-E. Therefore, I have been in compliance since the day I received the notice. We're wasting our time here.
Well, Mr. Singler, if I may interrupt, mm-hmm. If you had called me, I think we probably could have alleviated this and you would not have had to come. And I'm going to guess now, because I checked the records and it did not show. So it's possible that with that misspelling that it's in there, but under B-I-R instead of B-E-R. So had you called me, I think we probably could have fixed this, and I'll certainly will check into it for you.
Yeah. So this, we're here because of the error on the city's fault.
Yeah. You know, what can I say? Stuff happens.
Well.
And the lady's right. Had you just called, could have preempted all of this.
You're right. She could have.
You could have just called.
Yeah. No, I could have. But I felt it more important to come here to show that people are not the only ones that have issues. Sometimes the city government has issues. I just sat right here and watched. You got a person there. I don't know what the, and that's really not even the case, but I'm not quite sure if the guy didn't have water, why it's, and if the place was sanitary and not having water was the only issue, why are you pushing a guy out of a house? It just blows me away, the authority that you guys carry.
Anyway, have a nice day.
Thank you. So we're good here?
Well, yes. I'm going to check it, and if I have any problems, do you have a card on it?
I actually have the original. You can have one of these because I don't necessarily need two.
Okay.
And I think I have your name. Yeah, you do. I've dealt with you before, yeah. Well, I mean, I've dealt with you before. You've been fine. I mean, I don't know who made the mistake, but, you know.
Okay.
All right?
Well, what I will do is I will continue this matter to next month's meeting.
So am I going to have to come back?
Possibly. Let me think about that. I'll continue this matter till next month's meeting. If our inspector is satisfied that the license is in order, I assume you put an affidavit of compliance in the file, and then that'll be the end of it. So, who will be calling who? You'll be calling this gentleman?
I'll be calling him.
Let him know there will be no need to attend.
Correct.
Because you will have checked this out.
Correct.
And satisfied yourself everything's in order.
Yes, sir.
Very good. And before you come down here next month, mm-hmm. You don't want to hear from anybody. You might want to give her a call just in case maybe she forgot to call you.
Well, it wasn't that... I didn't notice the misspelling on the on the license until last night at 10 o'clock while I was just putting together some notes here. That's when I noticed the misspelling, which is what I really, I mean, that's why I'm sure that's why we're here, is the misspelling. Okay. I noticed that last night at 10 o'clock. It's hard to call somebody at 10 o'clock. I realized I got this notice previous to that. I have a lot of things going on. I just put that down. And I figured I'll go up here and, you know, plead my case.
Very good.
That's what I did. Like I said, I noticed it at 10 o'clock last night, the misspelling.
All right, I'm assuming you and the inspector will be able to resolve all this.
We've resolved things in the past just fine.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 19, WMA Properties, LLC.
Compliance as of 2-8-10.
Case number 21, Samuel J. Merrill, Jr.
Noncompliance, next cutoff.
All right, based upon our inspector's report, and given that I don't see a respondent, I will find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent come into compliance by March 3, 2010. Or what? Do you return here for imposition of the one-time occupational license fee?
Of $250, correct.
$250. One of these days I'm going to get that right all by myself. Case number 22, Elias Amir.
Noncompliance.
The respondent. Let's say the city.
Noncompliance, next cutoff, please.
Based on our inspector's report, and given the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the one-time occupational license fee of $250. Case number 23, I believe, is in compliance. Case number 24, Rosemary Johnson.
They are in the process of evicting. I have talked with this property owner. They're in the process of evicting and hope it will be done by the next meeting, but we are still non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, given the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent commit to compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of a one-time occupational license fee in the amount of $250. Case number 25, James Lamar Schubert.
Noncompliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report and given the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. And order the respondent come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the one-time administrative fee of $250. Case 26 is in compliance. Case 27, Merrill Properties Incorporated.
I haven't been in touch with this property owner, and there's been some activity, but we still have a tarp in place, and the fence is still defective, so we're non-compliance next cutoff.
Given the report of the inspector and the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 28, Melvin and Lucille Evans.
This property owner was here this morning, and again, had she called, we probably could have alleviated some of this. She didn't understand what she was being requested to do. She now does. It will be done by the next meeting. Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. In order the respondent to come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 29, John E. Hopkins.
Mr. Hopkins has passed away. He is still the owner of record. There is a list pendens on this property. It's we kind of discussed it, and it's non-compliance next cutoff. We want to go forward as it sits. Nobody else owns it yet. It does have problems.
Good. Order the dead guy to come to compliance. Well, this is one I'll be reading about.
Order whoever has authority or control, or whoever's receiving his mail, or anyone else. Yeah. That was what he is.
Let's do this a little smarter than we have in the past. All right. Based on our inspector's report and understanding the absence of the respondent, but further noting no one else having appeared on the respondent's behalf, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent or the respondent's representatives or anyone else who may be functioning on behalf of the respondent to come into compliance by March 3, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. That is our regular agenda. Miscellaneous business.
No, we didn't. Send it to them, too. Okay.
Let's talk about Vicki's wrinkles.
Don't talk about my wrinkles. I'm sorry. It's just not nice. Thank you.
Will you mind letting me ask you about a request for a fine today? Mm-hmm. I know you don't want to ask me.
Yeah. I'm going to think
that's
okay.
My first question is, what, if any, recourse do I have with regard to these water issues? I have this bad feeling when I see more of them.
Recourse.
I mean, what can you do? We just put them out when they can't afford the water.
We can't put them out because the city can't.
We tell them the rule and let them go non-compliant. That's what they end up doing. I mean, you know, we're kind of stuck with the rule. I mean, in the sense that it's a sanitary issue as part of the National Property Maintenance Code and
international property.
Oh, I have no doubt it's a health safety issue. And I don't want people borrowing water from their neighbors, so I have no problem with any of that.
And actually, there are
dealing between the rock and hard place.
There's social agencies that would help, but they don't. They won't help on a long-term, continuous basis. I mean, I think even trying to go downstairs is going to be difficult if you can't show a means, to even a method of acquiring funds. Because if you may have family that can provide or friends, you know, let's say a lot of patients, and so it makes it hard to determine how he will be able to put himself in a position of compliance. That doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's hard to see how it would happen. And if it does happen, it would happen beyond the 1 month of assistance. So, I mean, the best we can do is be able to point them towards, if we have knowledge of our programs, and I know just from some the inspectors, some of them, you know, the heart of the inspectors, that they'll say, there's this program that I know about, I want to go check that out, or is this a program over there? I'm not sure as far as the city.
I don't know if there is any
relief. I don't know
the
extent that utility billing, but I think it's related to them showing proof of an ability, you know, that they have a circumstance that can mm-hmm. be ultimately resolved,
right.
A hardship that has
mm-hmm.
some viable ultimate resolution. And non-employment is, you know, just kind of a bad situation right now. I don't know how to deal with that.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it still comes down to the property owner's responsibility.
Yes.
And if, you know, if they want to board the place up and shut the water off, that's their prerogative, if they board the place up. I don't think they can just abandon it. I mean, right now, it's effectively abandoned. And Mr. Williams may be related, but he's a squatter.
Well, CTS, the challenge of, I mean, arguably, he's a legal occupant, because at one point, appears that he was a tenant who now extended his tenancy for 2 years.
Squatter.
Opinion.
Squatter. Okay. Our Mr. Carrot Family Trust guy was fine.
Yeah, he always says, Mr. Singler. Are we still on?
There's like three of us here have dealt with him. He always has one.
I know that. I think I'm late yesterday. My good deed goes on a bunch.
Now you had the question of our
10% assessed value.
Well, fair.
How fashionable.
Actually, we want 90% assessed value, but that's what I thought it was. But
do you see the mark?
So where did that come from?
Well, I think I
need your reaction to bad press.
No. I think we had made mention of that as something that was discussed at the workshop. Staff has decided that he wanted to just adopt it. I believe that it's adequate to just adopt it as a staff practice and no formal action. The I don't know if they've formally taken a position as a staff as a whole, because the and so I don't know what. But what we talked about and what they talked about was making a recommendation to both magistrate and the code board to, I thought it was,
higher than?
Yeah, the we were capping it at like 90% of the value of the property.
10% less of the,
But there was some expressed concern about the issue of on property on relatively menial violations. And when I say that, I mean things that would, you know, acquiring long-term on grass growth or a broken window may be something where they would do an exception and ask for something less than the 90%.
So because the occupants and the residents get stupid or stubborn and aren't going to do anything as medial as cutting the grass, notwithstanding the fact that they're defining this, the city's reaction is to accommodate them.
Well,
capping their fine. So it doesn't get ridiculous, notwithstanding the fact that the ridiculousness of the fine is directly related to the ridiculousness and stubbornness of the respondent.
Mm-hmm. That's an accurate assessment.
All right, well, as long as it's understood that this recommendation is a recommendation only, that's fine. On behalf of myself and future special magistrates, I would, of course, be opposed to any inroads into the jurisdiction of the magistrate and the discretion of the magistrate. You know, and I'm sure there are circumstances that sort of a cap may very well be warranted. I'll have to think about it. Caught me kind of cold today.
I will have this, and I'm not sure. It's not my research or my digging, but at least my best understanding from Bob Jagger will be doing our foreclosures, if we foreclose, that he has concluded that the failure and success of the foreclosures have written on this issue of the pursuit. How egregious the fine is, or how shocking the fine is relationship to the violation and the value of the property. And so that's what has put some thought to possibly capping the fines at the board level. And quite honestly, the additional thought is that even at the point when a fine is, if we ultimately make a decision to pursue it and foreclosure, making a unilateral limitation to the fine, so that even though it may have run to $280,000, we may only pursue it as a $90,000 fine with a unilateral reduction of the lien. But that's something that will be within, of course, in the power of the city, because at that point it will be the city's lien that they're pursuing for recovery. But that's the whole thought of that. The whole thought of that is just trying to put it into a more of something that's more palatable when we're pursuing it, if we have to go and enforce it in the future.
And I didn't come up with that on my own. It was a directive.
Okay.
that we do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ever going to do anything about all the existing liens as far as revisiting them to make them more realistic and more palpable and perhaps more palatable to the judge and jury if the city ever decides to actually try to enforce one?
Yes, and I believe that's
something that's
on the staff.
Obviously, it's overwhelming, so we're trying to get our heads together to try to figure out how to even start, but yes, we are. Yes.
Which is why I suggested in the past that what somebody ought to do is tack on about 10 of them every week, give them their opportunity to show up, give them relief that they're entitled to, or say, we gave them the opportunity, we never heard from them, they've waived whatever right they had to be heard, and we don't want to hear about them bellyaching to some judge or jury somewhere down the road, or at least if they do, they will do it after we point out that they had every opportunity to have that addressed and chose not to.
Yeah.
Would those be for non-compliant running fines as well?
See, because that's part of the other situation is the question of how do we want to deal with these
absolutely
non-compliant. But I think that's good.
Yeah, because what you're going to find out is a certain percentage. A certain percentage of them you're going to find out are in compliance.
Right.
And then you're going to find out that Knucklehead failed to call the inspector,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now he's got a stupid fine accruing that makes everyone look dumb. So, absolutely.
Well, what we actually have is two things happening, because we're working on that, and I think if we recognize, and we'll talk about this in our staff meeting, if we can recognize that what you're asking for and what we're trying to do is not necessarily the same thing. It sounds almost the same, but it's not. I think what we're doing right now is we're casting these out, and they're going out, and they're finding out just what you just indicated, that a lot of them very well may have been, or at least they believe they're in compliance, and all we have to do is tell them, no, this is what you still have to do, or do a little bit of research to find out, oh, yeah, this happened back here. If you would have ever called someone, it would have been taken care of. But I think what you're saying is, notwithstanding that, you don't really see why we would wait until we've done all of that. You're saying just bring them here and give them an opportunity to talk about it. And obviously, we would do the research on the ones that we've pulled, but we should just start pulling them and getting them before.
Well, as far as the running fines go, I would say that would be more your domain.
Okay.
Because you choose whether to reduce that running fine to a lien and record that lien. I mean, that's the city's choice. What I've been more focused on are the existing liens under my lien review jurisdiction to say, as far as this bank, if you will, of what I call funny money liens, going through that process and saying, okay, yeah, this one stays just the way it is. This guy was a jerk and he didn't do what he was told to do. End of story. Or, okay, this one ought to be reduced. Let's make it a real number that's commensurate with the nature of the violation, a number that's gotten out of control just because it's been ignored for as long as it has. So that if the city decides, when the city gets that call, which they do, say, well, I'm trying to close on my property, but I just found out I had a $1,500 lien there. You'll say, hey, the lien, it used to be $15,000, but we notified you we would consider hearing you out again. You didn't show up. We reduced it to the present value. And you had your opportunity to be heard, and our rule was once we did that, we weren't going to talk about it again. And so there's no discretion. You don't need to go see that special magistrate. He's already heard a lien review request on your behalf that you chose not to attend. Or conversely, they attend.
Right.
And then we go, later on, we go, this is what we agreed upon. And you didn't pay it. So that's, I'm the only thing I find embarrassing about this process is the funny money that's in the lien stuff. It doesn't concern me as much as regarding the current ones, but I agree. You know, the city following through on those to see how many of them really are in compliance just because you haven't heard from the property owner or, you know, maybe they can still be resolved. But the only thing I consider embarrassing is the funny money that sits there in those liens and, you know, you get some goofy politician that all of a sudden thinks that's hard currency and doesn't understand why the city's not going out to get it.
Exactly.
And we've talked about the amnesty. I don't know where we're going with that. I don't know what the commission's ultimately going to do. We have another upcoming commission workshop on the
code workshop.
February 18th. So the commission wants to talk to us again. I'm not sure what we're talking about, but apparently whoever listens to the meetings will make notes. But they did another code workshop. So, well, I know what it is. To see what they can do, you know, are there ordinances that they can put in place? Is there something they can do to put us in a position to do what we need to do? We need code division. So, you know, and that's one of, I think the point you made was very valuable to us, and we're going to have to keep that in mind, and that's that, because I agree with you 100%, I don't believe that we need the commission to act for casting and those types of things. I believe that's something that should remain in the jurisdiction of the magistrate and the board, and all we really need to be doing, if anything, if we believe casting is something that we ought to do, that we ask for it, and that you consider it, and if it's something you don't want to do, that we're only making recommendations and that you're still making decisions. I'm really uncomfortable about the thought of putting ordinances in place that's going to define the max, because the circumstance may define something different than the percentage that we place into an ordinance. But I don't know what will come up at the workshop. And I know sometimes people believe
that. If you hired somebody to help Amy here, and you said your sole purpose is to look at every one of these old liens, to get them on meeting, to get them on agendas, to send out notices, to get them an opportunity to be heard, I'll bet you'll actually generate revenues that would make it a profitable in the sense that
position.
You'd actually generate some money that you may never see otherwise, and in the meantime, you'll have solidified whether the city is comfortable with that lien remaining out there, regardless of what the future may bring, and it's comfortable that it made every effort to resolve it, and a number of them probably will resolve and probably will pay.
And I think that's
probably
right.
more than return the investment and the effort.
And if you want to come to workshop, I mean, I can say that, but they'll feel it's gratuitous. But I'm sure if I say that, they'll believe it's just a gratuitous statement for getting more employees. But I believe you're absolutely right.
Hire a temp. It's not like I'm...
But I believe you're absolutely right. Yeah, assigning someone to that as a specific task will...
This is just a temporary task.
Yeah.
Until it gets to the point where, you know, I mean, everyone's more cognizant of it now. And like I say, I'm not opposed to there being some outrageous fine and lien out there on some little podunk piece of property. If it turns out the person that responds is just a jerk,
at this point,
do anything. That doesn't bother me a bit.
As a point of interest, I haven't been sitting those drawer away, and I may do that just so you can get a feel for some of the things that we're feeling. I mean, there is a little bit of more community backlash than there has been in the past in the communities related to reaction to the fines, and I guess just because of the whole market thing, it's like this question of why would you do something to someone who doesn't have water, or, you know, those types of things, and the fine enforcement that's coming through our municipal newsletter or mails that they send out weekly. I keep copying them and forwarding them to Amy so she can just kind of keep things in mind as we're addressing different things. Various communities throughout the state are starting to feel different types of backlash for different things that you're doing.
No backlashers come on in here.
But as you said, if we do all the steps, then we have an answer to people who are all worked up about what we're doing so mean and cruel.
We'd be tickled pink for them to take that money and put it into their properties as opposed to forking it over to the city. Tickled pink. Anyway. All right. Very good. Okay. Thanks for y'all's help.
Thank you.
Jerk.
I'd like to get that back.